This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Happy Wednesday morning to all the donks. We are the Junkies. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Do that today. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at CakesFlops on your Instagram. I'm joined by Jason Bishop.
At Picking Fatties, you want to tweet me? Hello, Cakes. Happy Humpty Dance Day.
Happy hump day to you, my
it's
friend.
It's the hump day hump.
As of right now, it's a two-man junk show. It's JP is not in yet. Eric Bickle still on his summer-long vacay, the vacay of 22.
Do we know why it's a two-man show?
I do not.
No, we don't.
Oh, no
not
one's
sure
heard?
About that.
Okay.
I haven't heard from him. We're getting ready to text him.
No
sure
texts, no calls.
Okay.
Usually someone will text if they're not going to be here right at 6.
But that's what we've got as of right now. Just pretend it's like December 28th, and it's a two-man junk show getting you through close to the new year. You just use your imagination.
Well, the difference there about that was December 28th, you got a ton of football to talk
that
about.
That is true. It's a very good point.
Today, all we got to talk about is Sam Mills being fired.
That's true. That's a pretty big story coming out of Commander Land. We're joined by Matt Valdez, of course.
Morning.
Hello.
Jason, did you get my text this morning at 4:39?
I did. I got the text from JP, and I got yours, yes. And here it is, right here.
Tommy Bahama. What a bottle.
Tommy Bahama.
It looks like he's used a good portion of that bottle.
I used to wear it all the time.
That bottle's almost down to the felt.
Yeah, there's about an ounce left, maybe an ounce and a half.
You might need to go to the Tommy Bahama refill station. Get that thing filled back up.
I got another one at the house.
Oh, you have a backup.
Well, now it's not the same scent. It's a bigger bottle. It's a blue bottle, but it's a different scent.
Gotcha.
But this was my favorite one.
Gotcha. All right, so I guess
I did get your text.
We'll sample that at some point.
I got the
today.
Reminder.
We're joined by, of course, drab T-shirt. His name's Matt Cahill.
Hey, what's up, Cakes?
What's up,
Jason?
Yes. Hopefully, it's a good morning for you.
It's a four man show. It's really a four man show.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Let's not forget intern John here as well.
Johnny,
he is with us. He is amongst us.
Hey, Johnny.
Morning, Cakes.
Good morning. I'm not sure what his work schedule is. I think it's erratic.
I'm guessing classes start August 25th.
Yeah, how'd you know that? Why'd you guess on a Thursday?
Because Loudoun County goes back on a Thursday. I assumed Arlington or whatever county O'Connell's in goes back on a Thursday.
I know so that the schools have to
Why are you going back Thursday, Friday, and then you get a three-day weekend?
That's just dumb.
Yeah. It's
dumb.
It's infuriating.
I understand the schools have to get in a certain number of days by law, a number of days or the students attend. But sending back late in the week and then having
a holiday weekend,
any weekend.
Dumb.
Like, school should always be in a box here. School should always start like on a Monday.
Correct.
The school year should always start on a Monday.
They should start after Labor Day weekend.
Or a Thursday. It's weird and nonsensical.
Doesn't make sense to me.
What they're doing is they're trying to stack it up where freshmen go back on Monday, sophomores Tuesday. It's kind of weird that they do that.
But it's a staggered start. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Johnny, we've taken class. So, Johnny, are you going to be working here during the school year?
I think so, yes. I'll be here from 6 to 8 in the mornings.
And then what time do classes start?
I have two electives this year, and this will count as I won't get a credit for it, but it'll be like an off campus, so I won't have to go to first period.
I will give intern John credit that he's going to come here at 6 and work for 2 hours and then go to school. Mm-hmm. There's no way I had that sort of a go-getter attitude and work ethic. Like, I would barely get out of bed and barely get to school on time. There was no...
No, but he loves it.
Good.
He loves it. He wants to be here. He wants to hang out with the Bit Season boys.
So intern John, the days of his summer, they're just going through the hourglass like pebbles of sand. So good luck to him. All right, Jason, you mentioned a pretty big news out of Commander's camp yesterday when Ron Rivera addressed the media post-practice around 11:10 a.m.-ish because I was listening to J.P. Finley, listening to Beamish and Finley, of course, who follow us here on The Fan, and... Pretty big news that Sam Mills was released of his duties with the first preseason game coming up this Saturday, just about a month before the real games kick off. So we have some audio of Coach Ron talking about what was obviously, I guess, a difficult decision just about a month before the season starts.
I relieved Sam Mills of his duties and just a difference in philosophy for the most part. And we'll go from there. Very difficult. I've known Sam a long time, and he's a very good football coach, and I really appreciate everything he's done. You know, he helped us win a division our first year, and, you know, and just things got tough last year. But there's some things that, you know, I felt I wanted to change.
Something had to have happened here. I do know this. I know that the players on the defensive line despise Sam Mills Jr. Oh,
despise is a pretty strong word.
Yes.
Like, you could have said...
There might be stronger words.
You could have said disliked or had, like what Ron said, was a very diplomatic way to put it, philosophical differences. Mm. But despised is a
That's coach speak is what that
that's
is.
That's a pretty heavy word that you're using. And like you said, you could have used something even more intense. But
I almost want to bring out the H word, but I won't. They don't like him and didn't like him and didn't like him last year. I don't get this. Something had to have happened over the last couple of days because Sam Mills Jr. has been on his staff for 11 years.
Okay.
11.
Yeah, that's a long time to be with.
He was with them in 2011 in Carolina and then all the way until yesterday. And now you're going to fire him because of philosophical differences? Now the players dislike him?
It must have reached some sort of breaking point.
And I got to know what it was.
Yeah.
I got to know. Finley's got to tell me. Petey boy's got to tell me. Someone's got to tell me what happened.
We got to pick J.P. Finley's brain like in between. But he's going to be at camp. So we can't.
Right.
I can do it on Twitter, but I can't really do it here in person.
He's going to be in his pickup truck.
That's right. Broadcasting from the parking lot.
Parking lot in the back of a pickup truck with a tent.
Persona non grata.
Right. So something had to have happened, and I just got to know what it was.
You want to hear Jonathan Allen kind of talking about it?
Sure.
Reporters kind of flocked to him as soon as they heard the news.
Yep.
They started asking him a bunch of questions.
Okay, yeah.
Line coach today, letting go of Sam Mills. What were your thoughts on that?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's sad. I think me and Coach Sam were getting along really well. We were really making some progress as a defensive unit. It's the NFL, and people just got to remember it's a great game but a terrible business. Obviously, it wasn't ideal for him, but as a team, we have to focus and keep moving forward. You know, I love Coach Sam and I wish him the best, but my focus is making sure everyone who's here, I'm doing my best to make them better. So that's what I focus on.
How unusual is it? You know, we're midway through camp here, and it's not like an offseason. It wasn't an early offseason change. Just how much is it weird for you kind of to go through this?
One thing I've learned in the NFL is that nothing is unusual. You got to learn to expect the unexpected, and as soon as you get comfortable, the NFL will surprise you. So, I mean, going into my sixth year, there's very few things that can surprise me in the NFL anymore. I've seen some of my best friends get cut, seen some guys who I thought for sure were great players not make it for whatever reason or another. So it's really hard to surprise me going into year six.
Was this one of the few things?
I think the timing was very surprising, but at the end of the day, it's not my job to worry about that. It's my job to play football, and that's what I'm going to do. We have the utmost faith in Coach Rivera, and you know we're going to rally and we're going to go.
Yeah, if you believe Jonathan Allen is sad that Sam Mills Jr. is fired, you fell out of bed and hit your head real hard. Oh.
So that's just him being diplomatic.
Of course.
And just giving a sound bite.
Jonathan Allen might be the reason he was fired.
He could potentially be the ringleader.
Yeah. So I just want to know what happened and why it happened yesterday and not before the season started. Because all of those players, that defensive line, they didn't like him last year.
So,
isn't it possible that, because Rivera said that he told Mills months ago that he needed more from the D-line.
Mm-hmm.
He's watching them through camp here. He's not seeing much improvement. So he's like, I got to make a change. It may not have been a big fight or an argument or something.
I don't know. I just got to find out. Believe me, it was a personality-driven firing.
Well, I know.
It wasn't a performance-based.
Well, now, maybe it had to have been performance-based.
Well,
I mean, if they're looking awesome and they're killing it, and Chase Young was dominating last year, and I mean, the D-line was weakness last year. And if they're looking like garbage,
I just don't know how you can put that on the coach. I do know this. They disliked him.
Yeah.
And that's probably the main reason he's gone.
J.P. Finley tweeted this in January. He said, the biggest position to watch might be the defensive line. Sam Mills III has coached the Washington defensive line for 2 seasons, and sources suggest he might not have the ear of the position group. And that was back in January. So J.P. Finley was on the pulse of this, 8 months ago.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
So that's something that's... This isn't something that reared its ugly head in camp over the last week or so. This has been building last year. And there's been something. The fuse had been lit in that building, and it exploded, obviously, yesterday. Like Ron just said, we're a month out from the season. I can't have this any longer. I'm going to have to make a difficult decision, which you talked about, and pull the plug on Sam Mills.
Why do you? So, Jason, if you think it's a clash of personalities,
yeah.
Why do you think they don't like him?
I don't know. They don't see eye to eye. I mean, you'd have to ask some of the beat guys why they don't see eye to eye, but they don't. They disliked Sam Mills Jr. I do know that. And it got heated in team meetings.
Is it because he pushed them? Because if you're going to get this laissez-faire players mm-hmm. coach... And you didn't get any kind of production from the defensive line last year.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the drop off that's going to happen.
Yeah, it could be a combination of a lot of things.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
I wish I knew exactly what happened in the last couple weeks.
The guy that's replacing him is Jeff Zganina. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a pretty no nonsense guy from him hearing him being interviewed yesterday, and the fact that he was a 7th round pick that somehow lasted 17 seasons in the NFL. That's a pretty amazing accomplishment. He seems like a pretty no-nonsense guy. Now, I don't know how he gels personality-wise with Sweat and Chase and Duron and all the guys on that defensive line, but he seems like a guy who's ready to step in and take over the job from the way he was talking yesterday.
Right.
He seemed like not a lot's going to change, like scheme-wise, but maybe the personality is just a lot different. I don't know. It's kind of a fascinating thing to happen a few days before your first
preseason game
and a month out from the regular season.
I know. It's very interesting. And this is a guy, again, who Ron hired 11 years ago.
Right. He's known him for a long time.
And now there's a philosophical difference 11 years into his run.
Right. Well, that's coach speak.
Yeah, something happened.
Man, I want to know what it is.
It was a volcano that finally exploded, and I'm not sure between who and why and when, but he obviously felt like we can't go on.
It wasn't just one straw that broke the camel's back type of issue. I think it probably was just Ron had seen issues for a long time. They hadn't been resolved, hadn't gotten better. Maybe the communication had gotten even worse between Mills and the guys on the D-line. And he said, I can't have... Ron probably just did the calculus and said, I can't have this festering throughout an 18-week season. I just can't.
Right.
It's better to just, rip the Band-Aid off now, try to replace, the issue and upgrade the problem,
mm-hmm.
move away from whatever problem it is. But, man, that's a tough look.
Drabby, you might be right. I mean... I think it always comes down to performance. I mean, if they all had 20 sacks, then obviously they're doing something right and they're believing in what is being coached. But from what I'm hearing, what spearheaded this was personality driven. They did not like each other. Players did not like Sam Mills Jr. Didn't like him.
It could have been as simple as that.
And, you know, I'm like I said, Rivera knew this last year.
Yeah.
He knew it. There was clashes last year. And now 2 weeks into camp, he decides we just can't go. The timing's very interesting.
If you want to weigh in on the Sam Mills firing as the D-line coach of the Washington Commanders, you're welcome to do that throughout the show today on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines, 800-636-1067. Joining us on the show today, Kevin Cole, PFF fantasy football expert. I love hearing those words. He's going to be on the show at 8:20, and we'll be joined by Mike Rizzo, as we usually are on Wednesdays, the president and GM of the Nats. He will join us coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Remember, the annual Junkies Poker Open is coming back Friday, September 9th at MGM National Harbor after an extended pandemic hiatus, and we can't wait. We know that the demand is going to be huge. We will see you there at MGM National Harbor. And now, in less than a month, it's presented by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest. Now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. And we'll have more JPO details to give you soon. I'll just leave it at that. Soon we'll give those to you.
Correct.
Coming along shortly.
So 800-636-1067 is the number. Talking about the Sam Mills Jr. firing. We were kind of talking about it during the break. Sam Mills' dad, of course, was Sam Mills, the great linebacker who was inducted to the Hall of Fame this past week.
Right.
So Sam Mills Jr. was there for the induction, out for, you know, a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting that he comes back and he's fired.
Yeah, it's a.
I wonder how practice was flowing when Sam Mills Jr. wasn't there last week.
So
his dad's induction.
Do we know the exact timeline of the firing? Like, was it at 8 a.m.? Because we know they practiced like from 9 to 11 yesterday's training camp practice.
That I don't know.
I mean, like, if you're going to fire somebody, you're not going to. I don't think you're going to do it in the middle of practice. Like, it's probably, hey, Sam, we need to have a quick sit down at 7:45 or 8.
Yeah.
Breaks the news, and then you go about your day. I would guess.
That's a great question.
I don't know. I need to know the exact timeline.
All I know is it got really bad for a guy that you had on staff for 11 years, and then you finally decide it's time to go.
Step into my office.
And not in the offseason either.
Fired.
Right. It's not in the offseason.
No.
It's during the season.
It's about like 3 days before you take on the Panthers in your first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of caught a lot of people by surprise from the sound of it.
Well, he was definitely there on Monday because Linnell interviewed him after practice.
I saw Linnell's tweet where he's like, doesn't seem like a guy who's about to get fired.
You know? He had no idea that it was coming.
Blindsided. He must have been blindsided by the news. I would guess.
Yeah. I got to find out more info.
All right,
I got to find out why those players didn't like Sam Mills.
I'm tasking you with getting all of the nitty gritty.
I'll do what I can.
All of the dirty details.
I'll do what I can.
Because you have sources over there. You have sources at Commander's Park or whatever it's being called these days.
Mm-hmm.
You have people. You have people you can lean on.
Yep.
Let's go to Ben in Silver Spring. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to weigh in on Sam Mills being relieved of his duties, as Ron liked to say, as the D-line coach. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how's it going today? Maybe it truly is philosophy. I wonder, could Sam Mills be behind Chase Young becoming a more finesse player? And maybe as we're beginning the rehab and moving him back, he just doesn't want to come off of that idea. And Ron Rivera is thinking, hey, man, I got a franchise player who did poorly, perhaps because he went away from his strengths.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, thank you for the call. But
that might be part of it.
Sam Mills' philosophy should be whatever Jack Del Rio's philosophy is. So whatever Jack Del Rio is preaching as a defensive coordinator, those are his orders. Those are his marching orders that he should be bringing to the guys on the defensive line. Now, if he's freelancing or doing something different that Jack and Ron disagree with or don't like, well, then that's obviously a huge problem. Like,
Ron and Jack and Sam should all be on the same page.
I agree.
Especially your defensive line where you got a bunch of first-round picks.
Correct.
Including the number two pick overall a couple years ago.
Like, whatever Ron and Jack
should all be on the same page.
That's what Sam Mills has to bring down to his guys.
Right, so if Ron knows that those players who are all first-round picks don't like the guy who's teaching them day-to-day, and they're in these personal meetings, these positional meetings, and they're going back and forth, and they're MFing each other, that's on Ron Rivera.
Sure.
Ron, you got to have a clue.
And
hey, Ron, hello. Let me knock on your door. You got to have a clue, buddy.
If there's a communication issue and a personality issue.
And Jack Del Rio has to have a clue.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's going to get back to Ron. Like, Ron may not be in that meeting room when Sam Mills is sitting down with the D lineman, but he's going to know if there's friction between Mills and the players. Like, it's going to get back to him, whether it's from other players, whether it's from the actual defensive lineman. It might be Mills. Mills might just go up to Ron and say, I'm having a disconnect with Duran, or I'm having issues getting through to Jonathan. He's, you know, this guy's not listening to me. This guy's not, you know, he's not following through on what his assignments are. Like, Ron knew that there was something amiss. I guess it built up over a pretty long period of time from the sound of it, and it came to a head yesterday.
Yeah, and look, I mean, Mills was the defensive line coach in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, did the players in Carolina dislike him too?
I don't know.
Were there communication problems? I mean, he was there for 10 years. It's just weird. I don't know if you put it on Mills or if you put it on the players.
Not sure.
I just have no idea. Maybe some of these players are uncoachable. Don't know.
That could be part of the case.
Yeah.
Let's go to Vic in Akakie. What's up, Vic?
What's up, guys?
Hey,
I definitely believe that this is an underlying issue with the players. Having been a football coach, having been an educator for over 11 years, this just smells like disrespect. And what it seems like to me, they don't respect him, and it was affecting. It was starting to corrode the defense, and they couldn't overlook it anymore. And I thoroughly agree with you, Jason, that if this has been a glaring sore on the defense, this is on Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, period. And this is why I don't trust this organization. Because this shouldn't be happening a month before the season starts and 1 week, three days before the first preseason game. I'm tired of hearing this dysfunctionality about the Commanders every time and every which way you can think of it. And it just reeks of an organization that's not on the right page. This is bad. This is bad. And I don't care how Ron tries to spin it. It's a philosophy issue. We want to move in a different direction. No. You are professionals. So if that man coached on coached the defensive line for 10 years and he's never – if there's never been a occurrence of this before, how the heck does this happen when he gets to Washington?
Yeah, I know. It's a great question, Vic.
Yeah,
I mean, Ron, if Ron really likes Sam Mills Jr. and thinks Sam Mills Jr. is a good coach and is good for the team and is good for that position, he needs to go sit down with the defensive line and say, you need to deal with it.
Right.
Because he's staying.
Yep.
I believe in him. I've worked with him for 11 years. Mm-hmm. He's my guy. You can either play for him or you can sit on the bench. That's what Ron should. If Ron was a leader, he'd say that.
Okay, but maybe he realized that these guys are no longer listening to Sam Mills. I need a new voice here. I really love Sam Mills, been working with him for 11 years, but his message is getting stale with the players for whatever reason. It's just, it's not resonating. He's not connecting. And maybe it's just that the players have now just cut him off.
They've tuned him out.
They've stonewalled him. And
they tuned him out.
If that happens, then I don't really blame Ron. Like, Ron has to do something.
Well, this is where I blame Ron. Ron knew this was going on last year, and he still brought him
back. It's obviously something that that was lingering during the offseason.
I mean, you know what of a poop show the defensive line was last year? They're fighting in the locker room at halftime.
Right.
Fighting. Well, not bickering, not arguing, fist fighting.
Yeah, well, it's obviously an awful look. And
they hate their coach and they're fighting each other.
And it doesn't help when it spills over, when the cameras are on them on the sideline of the Cowboys game while they're getting drummed. It's a horrible look.
You know what this makes me think? It makes me think if Sam Mills wasn't here, do you think Sam Mills is the reason why Tim Settle and Matt Ioannidis aren't on the team? Like, they couldn't wait to get out of there?
I don't know. It's a good point.
You know,
it may have been a mitigating factor.
Maybe they were so unhappy in the situation.
I mean, they're going to get paid by a different team. You know what I mean?
Right.
Free agency. But you think it was a factor as to why they might not have been so quick out the door?
It might not have been the primary factor. But, like, Settle, I'm sure, wants more of an opportunity. He wants more playing time.
I know it's opportunity-based, but I'm trying to connect the dots a little bit as to why you weren't able to re-sign these guys who were...
I think there's something to that.
I just want to see if Mills...
Who are contributors for the team.
Now, I haven't heard that Settle and Ioannidis disliked Mills. I've heard other players.
Right.
A couple other big-name players didn't, but I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't put it past him.
I just want to see now if Mills, does he resurface with another team this year? Or does he not pop up on a staff within the next year or two?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he doesn't latch on with the staff within a year, year and a half, then I'm going to start thinking, oh, maybe there's something there to...
It's got a bad rep.
The reason why he was let go. Now, if he gets snapped up by another organization and, you know, is a D-line coach and then gets elevated to a defensive coordinator at some point, then you raise your eyebrow at what Ron has done. So I'm kind of intrigued now to see, does he have a landing spot? Does another team pick him up? Is he viewed as a valuable commodity in the coaching ranks?
Right.
I want to see how that plays out now with Sam Mills.
Well, the defensive line's got no excuse now. Go out and have a great season.
Right.
Make plays.
Got rid of the coach that you...
You don't like that guy, he's gone.
That you guys didn't
You have a huge year. If that's the reason you didn't have a huge year last year, all right, go out and prove it.
Well, I would expect pretty big years, at least from Allen and Payne in a contract year.
Yes.
Like, if Payne wants to get a contract close to what Jonathan Allen got last offseason, he's going to have a monster season. Like, I'm expecting big things out of Daron Payne in 2022 because he wants, you know, $45 or $50 million guaranteed in his next deal.
It's just rare when you see a position coach fired a couple weeks into a camp.
Yep.
Like you said, 3 days, 4 days before the first preseason game.
It seems like Zganina, though, is going to he'll just get in there pretty seamlessly. Like, he sounds like he has a good relationship. Now, again, this is from a 2 or 3 minute presser that I heard yesterday.
Yeah.
It seems like he's a pretty no-nonsense guy. Like,
I'll tell you what, he's jacked.
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
He is a monster.
He played with a bunch of different teams.
So he'll be taking over for Sam Mills, who was released yesterday by Ron Rivera.
And he's played, or he's coached with Washington since Ron, you know, took the job. So he hired him as an assistant defensive line coach. Now he is the defensive line coach. We'll see how they play this year. But it's just very interesting when you see a position coach let go 3 days before the first preseason game. Just doesn't usually happen.
I need all the details about the firing, how it went down. Was Mills combative during the firing, or did he just sit there and take it? Oh, I need to know these details.
Yep.
Probably won't ever get them.
No idea.
Do you want to hear Jay Gruden on with Grant and Danny yesterday?
I heard some of the interview.
He was talking about it.
Yes.
He was talking about how the timing is unusual, like we're all saying.
No, never heard of that. Doesn't happen very often, you know. after training camp, a couple things you want. You want cohesion. You don't want controversy. And that's one thing that you try to avoid as a coach. But sometimes you have to make a bold move like that to create more cohesion, maybe. Maybe there was some people ruffling some feathers in meetings or disrupting the defensive meetings and on-field activities. Who knows what happened there? It's just very odd for it to happen this time of year because they had the whole off-season to do it last year. They knew what kind of coach he was. Heard he was doing pretty good. I know Jonathan liked him, and it's unfortunate.
And that had to be difficult for Ron. I mean, Ron has had this guy by his side for 11 seasons. Mm-hmm. Like, Ron's used to cutting players, or he probably has an underling doing the cutting of the players. I don't know if a player goes in and talks to Ron after he's released, but letting go of a coach who you've coached with for more than a decade, that, despite whatever differences
it's
there
might be
there.
It's probably his boy. It's his homie.
It
he loves him.
It had to be tough. It had to be difficult.
Look, maybe Ron's
not an easy thing.
Loyal to a fault, but you're right. It's when you have a guy on your staff for 11 years, you really like him.
Yeah.
And I know he probably loved his dad. His dad was a stud.
Dad's a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. A great player.
But if your defensive line, which with a bunch of so-called stars, aren't seeing eye to eye with that coach,
yep.
Yeah, I guess the players win there.
Yep. If you want to weigh in throughout the show, if you want to give your opinion on Sam Mills being let go as the defensive line coach of the Commanders, you're welcome to do that on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. 800-636-1067 is the number. Don't forget, Kevin Cole from PFF is going to join us at 8:20. We'll talk NFL and fantasy with him. And Mike Rizzo joins the show coming up at 9 a.m. We'll hit the skins at 7. Explore any potential interest in Roquan Smith, bringing him in from the Chicago Bears, as he's demanding a trade in a Commander's position of need. And maybe there's a few more Sam Mills nuggets that we have that will drop at 7 a.m. But right now we wanted to get into something that Drab is into more than almost anybody that I can feel like on the planet. Like, if you love something as much as Drab T-shirt loves Woodstock 99 and new metal bands. I mean, just let me know. Just let me know if you know anybody that has more passion for anything than Drab has for those two things. And now it's being fueled by, I think, a 3-part doc on Netflix about just everything that went wrong at Woodstock 99. Well, just a big disaster.
I've only seen one of these episodes. It's a 3-part series because it was a 3-day concert.
Right.
I think Valdez watched the whole thing yesterday.
He did.
I did.
And there was a couple months ago, something came out about it, maybe on Hulu or something like that.
HBO Max had a doc on Woodstock 99. Right. It's like a two-hour doc.
Valdez is right there, too.
Yeah.
He's
close. Don't let take me all these bullets.
Right.
But I was watching it this weekend. I got psyched to be a teenager again.
You did.
Look, I just turned 40 years old, but 1999, I'm
right.
17.
17 years old, okay.
Prime, just like looking back at your fondest music memories and your favorite bands and going to your first concerts.
Sure.
Now, look, that thing got out of control, but it looked like a lot of fun at the same time. It looked like a lot. Just so much smoking pot.
So much weed.
Right. So much smoking pot and just topless girls and guys looking for sex and just great music. And it wasn't all new metal stuff. Like Bush was there, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I would kiss Cheryl Crow.
Funniest takeaway.
Big Jewel fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Our friend Rich Voss was doing comedy sets.
Yeah, Rich Voss was there.
That is funny. One of the funnier takeaways is Drab's seeming obsession with women being topless at concerts.
Oh, you're going to make me sound like a pervert.
So he was picking my brain about it a little bit because, look, I went to a good number of concerts, hair metal concerts specifically in the mid to late 80s into the early 90s.
You probably saw that all the time.
Before grunge killed hair metal. I really didn't see a lot of it. I mean, not in person. I'm sure it happened, you know, as bands like Rat and Motley Crue and Poison were in their heyday. I'm sure that there were topless women at a lot of these shows, at least for spurts. But I don't think in 2022 you're going to go to a lot of concerts and women are walking around topless.
Well, that's That was my question. I was reminiscing about the fond memories of women taking their tops off at concerts when I was in my late teens, early 20s.
When you're 17. Right?
It blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. And my question was, are women still getting topless at concerts? Because I don't really go to concerts anymore.
You would have thought back in 1999, a chick showing her jugs was the same as her putting her arms in the air and cheering. I mean, because Netflix
is that prevalent.
Yeah, because Netflix was showing every single girl on the shoulders of a dude, whipping them out, like Opie and Anthony.
Sure.
Yeah, they really screwed up Woodstock '99. Just such a massive lineup. I mean, literally. Metallica
what was the major botch? Do I have to watch it to understand?
It helps understand, but to kind of put it, there was a weird progression in music and in people, and then there was a lot of anger that the bands invoked. There was a lot of problems with the infrastructure of the concert
that were making
people even more mad. They were charging $4 for a water when it was 105 degrees on a tarmac in Rome, New York.
A lot of it was just like a perfect combination of the style of music.
Yeah, it was
like
a perfect storm of bad circumstances.
Like angry white teenagers just like coming into their own. And just dealing with their aggression.
Right. Being destructive.
They, and then they see silly bands like Korn on stage just putting a hell of a set. And they're getting so pumped up that they don't know what to do with all this energy.
And also, like they talked about the infrastructure. Like, they didn't have enough porta potties. I mean,
it was a festival. They had nowhere to shower, nowhere to pee or poo.
The place looked like a third world country after an earthquake ravaged it.
Price gouging, trash everywhere. At the end of the festival, they gave out candles to everybody. So basically, you're giving fire to 150,000 people.
Horrible idea. I think in the first doc that I saw, some of the guys that were hired to do security are trading out like access for sexual favors from women.
Yeah.
Like
the peace patrol.
It was just a bad idea all the way around. It was just a bad look.
How could the organizers not have enough porta potties?
It's because
they're cutting corners because they did Woodstock 94, right? Which was a big financial flop.
Okay.
So they had a great idea in 99 to bring it back one last time, but it was going to be a money making endeavor.
Right.
And they had it at some defunct Air Force base. The whole thing was on a tarmac. And they were cutting corners left and right.
Yeah,
Woodstock, make money.
Yeah, Woodstock '94 was awesome, like for a musical festival. But like Drab said, people were able to sneak in, so it was a financial disaster. So they saw this and they said, "Well, we just got to make sure that people are paying for stuff." So they cut corners and overcharged for everything.
But I can tell you this, Drab, you're now 40. You've aged out of multi-day festivals, and I know this from experience because I went to the last Warped Tour, which was a two-day event in Atlantic City. I had a great time. It was fantastic. It was good bonding with my daughter and my oldest son. But trust me, it is not for the past 25-year-olds. Like that's something for like 18 to 25, maybe late 20s. Like if you're in your 30s plus. Two-day festivals are not the thing for you. They're just not. It's just too much. It's just too much day.
A two-hour festival would be
it's just a lot to deal with.
So Friday night, I'm watching this thing by myself. It's like 10 o'clock at night. My wife's already asleep. I'm headbanging in my living room, getting sized, seeing all these jugs on TV. And I'm just thinking about being a teenager again and just missing those days and just living the life.
You're getting big time nostalgic.
That was getting very nostalgic on watching this thing.
How many bands were on that card for Woodstock 99?
About
40?
A billion.
I think
a billion.
All of them. All of the big bands of the day.
Yeah. Man, how much do you have to pay every band? Obviously, the bigger name bands are getting more.
The ticket was $150 for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your last three bands on Friday were The Offspring, Korn, and Bush. Saturday, Limp Bizkit, Rage, and Metallica.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
And Sunday, Jewel, Creed, and Red Hot Chili Peppers closed the concert.
Creed was in the mix? So sized. played my own prison lock. Yeah, I mean, every big band you'd ever heard
you
of.
You imagine flashing your jugs to hire.
Scott Stapp, I'm sure, would have approved.
Wow.
You know it's a big festival in 1999 when Kid Rock plays at 1 p.m.
Right. Playing Bud early.
I don't know. It's a good documentary. You should check it out. It's on Netflix. And if you're my age or 35 to 40, you'll just get sized.
And it's right in your wheelhouse.
Drab needs to watch the HBO one too, because that'll get him even more sized.
Did anybody stay up for the first episode of Hard Knocks, which debuted last night on HBO?
I divvered it. So I was sleepy. I'll watch it today.
Cakes, do I owe you a dollar? Did they show the punch?
I haven't. I mean, you think I stayed up till 11 p.m. to watch Hard Knocks? That is going to be my afternoon viewing today.
Yeah, I'll watch it today.
I can't stay up till 11 p.m. on a work night.
I know you took a power nap yesterday.
I did take.
When it was 104 degrees out.
It was not a drab level nap. To me, that's a 2+ hour nap, and that just sabotages your nighttime sleep. But it was a good hour 35, maybe hour 40. I felt good when I woke up.
I was thinking about you.
I was
walking my dog yesterday, and it's 104 degrees. I could only walk my dog like just around the block.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to walk my dog 2-3 miles, especially during COVID. But now, I mean, it's so hot. It's torture. It's animal torture to do that.
I'm with you. My dogs, I have two dogs. One of them is 15. Like he's way past his lifespan. Like, so he has to take short walks. And the other dog is 8, and he's got serious heart problem. So
yeah, you can't take them anyway.
You can't walk those dogs. Like I think we walked the dogs last night at 7:30 or 7:45, and it was still like 90 or 91 degrees.
Yeah.
Like you just got to shorten the walk.
Thunder Boomer's coming in today.
Today? What time? What time do they arrive?
I'm going to say between 3:30 and 6, 3:30, 5:30, somewhere in there. A couple of them are going to be biggies too. Should cool it off for a good 45 minutes.
So you're calling severe thunderstorms today?
I mean, you know, just your standard D.C. summer storms. I mean, depending on where you are.
All I know is I have to empty my bladder as soon as I leave Homewood today, because I'm going back to Teddy Roosevelt to do a quick run after work.
Hang out with the naked man.
And I am not going to go to the scariest bathroom on the planet tucked back into the park. Not going to revisit that scene.
Yeah.
Not even going to make it a possibility.
Well, you know what? You'll have another hour and a half window to take a nappy nap today.
I will certainly do that.
Before the storms come.
Cakes, speaking of the NFL and Woodstock, did you see Cam Newton was watching the documentary yesterday?
I did not see that.
This is actually shocking. And he tweeted out, "Just watch Woodstock 99. And I realize I need to go to a rock concert, like ASAP. I want to be a part of a mosh pit." I mean, right in the middle of it. Any suggestions or recommendations?
Ah, he wants to be in the mosh pit. How old is Cam
Newton? He wants to go to the pit.
Like Cam Newton's...
I think I just became a fan of Cam Newton.
Cam Newton wants to mosh it up with the headbangers.
What is he, 35?
Yeah, I mean, my advice to Cam Newton, I've been to plenty of concerts where there are mosh pits and circle pits. Here's my advice. Stay away. Stay a million miles away. But again, that's for the young. It's for the young man.
6'5". I know. He's worried about him getting hurt in a mosh pit.
You think he couldn't get hurt in a mosh pit?
I think he could lay out a couple
guys. He probably could do that. He's a big physical guy.
If I was in the pit and I saw Cakes run in, oh my God, I couldn't wait to hit him.
Pummel him.
I would pummel you so hard.
Oh, come on, why are you going to do that? It's supposed to be a friendly expression of the good time you're having at the rock show.
Your tiny shoulder would be so dislocated.
I mean, why are you trying to lay me out? Like, what are you, Sean Taylor all of a sudden? You want to just headhunt me in the pit? It's not very nice.
There's nothing like the brotherhood of seeing someone get knocked down and then helping them back up, and the crowd cheers goes wild.
You gotta help them back up. The real wackies are the people that crowd surf at shows. Then they just get passed along to the front, and then the security grabs them, puts them down. Then they scurry around the crowd, and then they get passed up again.
At Woodstock 99, there's a lot of groping women were crowd surfing.
You know what? Guys, can you be respectful of women, please? Like, if they're crowd surfing, don't cop a feel. Just pass them to the front, okay? Let's come on. We're grown men here. This is 2022. Let's act like adults, okay? Let's not grope women when you're trying to enjoy a rock show.
Drabby would love that. He would love that.
Now he's backing away.
I just want to be a spectator.
All right. When we come back, we will hit the Skins. Should the Commanders get involved in a Roquan Smith trade? We'll get into that and more next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.